Welcome to the From Burnout to Recovery Show with your host, Dr. Kate. This is where your journey to burnout recovery starts. Are you feeling overwhelmed or like work has become unmanageable? Join me and my guests for open and honest conversations about burnout recovery from the comfort of the front porch. I am here to help you build your resilience and prepare you for burnout in a whole new way through a variety of perspectives. Move past the idea that burnout can only be addressed by avoidance and work to integrate recovery into your daily life. Relax, take a breath. The From Burnout to Recovery Show starts now. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the From Burnout to Recovery Show with Dr. Kate on Transformation Talk Radio and member of the Cornelia Stephanie Media Group. I am your host, Dr. Kate, and I am excited to welcome you to the show today. As you are enjoying the show, remember to hit that subscribe button and follow me at Dr. Kate Steiner on Instagram. Today, we are going to be joined by our guest, Raewyn Guerrero. I'm really excited to learn more about her and her practice with functional medicine and how she works with clients to create a dress for health success plan. After 5 years at Barclays PLC, leading wellness between 2011 and 2016, she founded WellWorks with a team of practitioners who share her vision of self-care as healthcare. Her mission is to create a well world, starting with women in business by offering a personalized roadmap for how they eat, think, sleep, and move through the insights gained from functional labs. Raewyn and the WellWorks team have helped hundreds of corporate professionals get to the root of their health issues when traditional medicine has failed. By focusing on the why as opposed to the what, they support the body's innate healing systems rather than treating systems. Raewyn, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. So as we ask all of our guests when they join us, if you would tell us a little bit about yourself, your own burnout, and your own journey to recovery.
Yeah, so this is a funny story because it all happened while I was in the middle of running a well-being program. So the irony is not lost on me. But I was so fixated at that point on, you know, using, you know, mind-body medicine. So using like hypnotherapy and trying to help people with talking therapy and sort of neglecting the fact that the chief function of the body is to carry the brain around. And that's one of my favorite quotes from Thomas Edison. And I think, you know, by focusing so much on the mind, and we sort of were transitioning during that period, like when it was 2011, everybody was all about mindfulness at that point. Yeah. Too. So there was this huge movement into focusing only on the mind and not necessarily looking after the body. And the ways that we traditionally thought of the body was like, well, we got to lose weight. And it's almost like we had to punish it in a way, right? You had to restrict eating. You had to work out really hard. So it wasn't about being kind to yourself. It was really about being very, very regimented and not flexible. And that led to what happened with me and what I see happen with all my female clients, where we end up in this situation where we have overloaded ourselves with to-dos. There's so many things on our list and we don't prioritize our own self-care. Even exercise becomes part of that thing, another thing to do. And we do it really hard and we're really, really aggressive about it and not necessarily being more restorative. So, you know, after 10 years in banking, it was just inevitable what was going to happen. You know, I ended up with a host of gut issues, unexplained infertility, and a ton of other things like migraines. You know, my hormones were just all over the place. My gut was not in a great place, panic attacks, anxiety. So these are all my signs and symptoms of burnout, right? And they are the signs and symptoms that I see in other people, but there's sometimes other things that they don't always connect the dots on. You know, having like no energy or sometimes having too much energy, being so wired that you can't sleep. So there are all these various ways of how it manifests in different people. And for me, it was very much, you know, I was a type A, I was always very driven. I was kind of like sleeping for 5 hours a night, but in the morning when I woke up, I didn't have a ton of get up and go, but you know, I fuel myself up with coffee and just keep going. So in a nutshell, you know, I crashed and burned in 2016 and then had to figure out how do I regain my health, you know, and I saw loads and loads of specialists, you know, and I hear from a lot of my clients too, that they have seen the like, all my blood work's normal. The endocrinologist said everything's fine. The gastroenterologist said everything's fine. They want to put me on anti-anxiety meds, or they want to put me on these things. And I'm like, is it really anxiety? Are you really depressed? Or is it something else that's biochemically not right that we need to, because, you know, most people that I work with, they are pretty level-headed people in most ways. They're very driven, very ambitious, you know, women who really look like they have it all together, right? They're climbing a corporate ladder. They might be mothers. They might be juggling all the things, and they've got everybody else's life under control. They've got their business under control. But when it comes to their own health, they're not necessarily so in tune with what's going on. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So, absolutely. And
I think you could probably relate as well. And a lot of the time
much of that. Yeah. We can, you know, I think the piece that when you were talking that I wrote it down, cause I was like, oh my gosh, I feel that to my core, that overload of to-dos. And that when we create like exercise as part of the to-do list, and it's not actually a part of our recovery process, because it's just another thing that we're trying to check the box on. So that struck me for sure.
Yeah. So, and I feel like that's one of the big messages that I want to get across to people, that when you are looking after yourself, it should feel like you're unplugging in order to recharge. Right. Mm-hmm. So rather than going and being on that conveyor belt, which is, you know, the corporate conveyor belt, which is what it felt like I was on, you know, just sort of like you're getting the tube to work, the subway in England, you call it the tube, getting the tube to work every morning. It's an hour's commute. You're shoved up against people and then you rush into work. And, you know, the whole pandemic has made us, so many people, rethink the way that they're living. Yeah. And I have friends now who are still in corporate, but who've opted not to return to the office. They're like, look, we get the option to work from home now. We're not going back because we don't want that hour of hell every morning and then an hour of hell coming home.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That was something that I'm, you know, made that adjustment too, and had a job where I had the commute and those kinds of things. And I used to tell myself, it's like, no, it's great. And, you know, I have this 40 minutes, like getting ready for the, like getting amped up for my day. And then I have this 40 minutes of like decompression for the day. But I was experiencing a lot of road rage during those times. So it wasn't really a recovery time when I look back and think about it. Tell us a little bit more about dress and what that means and how people can implement that into their lives.
So the idea behind dress, you know, I say that's it's our only prescription, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so whatever it is that I am addressing, like the only thing we're going to prescribe is diet, rest, exercise, stress reduction, and supplements. It sounds super trite, but those are the five pillars of health for everyone. And it worked for me, and it's working for everybody else that I'm working with. You know, when someone comes to me and they start to work with me, we start by investigating what's going on with them. Mm-hmm. So that prescription that I've just talked about is going to become very tailored and personalized to that person and what we find. So it will fit their lifestyle, and it will also fit what we see in terms of their biomarkers, like what shows up on that lab work. And the lab work isn't the traditional sort of like when you go to your doctor and they do blood work. Like we look at saliva, we look at stool, we look at urine, because we're looking at very different things. So when you go to the doctor and you do blood work, they're looking for a full-blown disease. And when you come back as normal, they're basically saying like, yeah, you are normal against a diseased population, which isn't optimal, right?
Right, right.
I'm looking for dysfunction. So we're looking in functional medicine, we're looking for the things that might be like the weak links in how you're feeling, how your cells are interacting. We look at the energy of the cells, the mitochondria. So we're looking at cellular health in so many ways, and being proactive before something becomes full-blown, you know, disease, right? Yeah. So that's my wheelhouse, like being preventative. Like I say, prevention is better than cure. And if you get these five bricks in your foundation of health, right? Like the dress, these five pillars, because you are looking at creating a house of health. You get those right by understanding exactly how your unique biochemistry works and then matching your prescription to that. And I keep using the word prescription, but it's not really, it's a protocol. Then you're actually dealing with, you're going to get results a lot faster than if you were sort of like stuck in that cycle of trial and error and trying keto or trying being a vegan or trying acupuncture and trying Reiki and which is all the things that I did. You know, I tried all those multiple things and, you know, I saw loads of specialists. I saw loads of alternative practitioners. So, you know, I had the gastroenterologist, the endocrinologist, the psychiatrist, the urologist, like I had them all. And I see most of my clients, they've all done that. And I'm sort of like their last, you know, like they show up and like, I've tried everything and nothing that I have tried has worked. So what do I do
I'm
now?
Here.
Because now I'm here and I'm willing to, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. And I love when people are in that place where they're just like, I am at rock bottom and now help me get out of here. And what I would love though, is to get people before they hit rock bottom.
Of course. Right. Yes.
Which is
any of us that are coaches or working in the wellness space or in the burnout recovery space, certainly want to get to folks before they hit that desperate point for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, I like to say we start with 90 days. We try something for 90 days using dress, and there are different phases throughout that. Like every 2 weeks, we tweak things, we tailor, we see what's working, we figure out what's not, we scale back or we ramp up, like depending on how well someone's body is responding or how well their mind is, you know. And sometimes some of the things that we can see very quickly is like people start sleeping better, like they're sleeping through the night, they're not waking at 3 a.m. anymore, because that's one of like a really common sign that you're waking up at 3 a.m. Something, you know, so your HPA axis isn't working very well. It could be a blood sugar issue. It could be the fact that you're eating too close to bed. It could be you're fighting with your spouse, you know, and we'll figure out what are the things in your life that you need to do in order to be able to get a decent night's sleep. And then we'll look at maybe biochemically, do you need more melatonin? Do you need less melatonin? Do you need more magnesium? So it is very much like, yeah, we're going to give you an overall plan for 90 days, but we are going to course correct and navigate as we go along and make sure that we're setting you up for success. And then that way it frees up all your time so that you are not worrying about, am I getting it right? Am I not? And then you have time to actually focus on the things that do matter. If that's, you know, a family, a relationship, a career, you're not spending all your time wondering like, why is my stomach hurting? Why am I going to get my period this month? You know, I get a lot of women who don't like, they're missing periods or it's showing up at weird times or it's really painful. So stuff like that, like we just take all the guesswork out of what's going on with your body by getting really precise.
Yeah. What is something that you know, might recommend to someone who is thinking about looking into, you know, functional medicine as a relief or a recovery plan, or, you know, any advice that you would give someone in that regard, like if they're not sure where to start with it?
I love that question, because I do get that some people are like overwhelmed when they're like, how much change have I got to go through? Like if you're willing to make some changes, I would say start by just changing your diet to begin with. That's actually the first thing in that house of health, right? Diet is the first pillar in dress. So look at the way that you're eating and start paying attention to the way that you feel after you eat certain foods. Have those foods given you energy or are they depleting you? Because food can actually, I mean, it's a chemical modulator. Right. So if it's something that's draining you, like the common example is people have that post-carbohydrate slump after lunchtime, right? So they say by 2 o'clock, they've eaten at noon or one, and by 2 or 3 o'clock, they're like, I've got the munchies. I need to go, you know, Mr. Snickers or Mr. Kit Kat's calling my name. I need another coffee. And then they've had that coffee and then they can't go to sleep at night because they've had it too late and they need it to get through the afternoon, but they're not doing well. So notice what's giving you energy. And I'm not talking about caffeinated energy. That's something different. But just notice what's giving you energy. And if something is taking energy away from you, I did a little experiment last week on someone who said, she was only having one meal a day because she thought that would be the way to lose weight. She's in her 40s. She's exercising a lot. And I said, you know, what if you started eating more often? And her face was just like horrified. She said, well, what would that do? Like, wouldn't I put on weight? I said, no, you would actually kickstart your metabolism. And then you would actually be able to pay attention to what's actually giving you energy because you're tired all the time. And this one meal a day thing, not sure it's working out for you because food it should be giving you energy.
Right.
So she tried it. She did it for like 3 days. And she said, okay. She said, I felt really good in the morning by having breakfast. I actually had breakfast. And she had like, you know, she didn't have a sugary cereal-y breakfast either. She had like some eggs and some avocados and she felt really good by having like the protein and the fat. And then lunchtime, she had a sandwich and she said, oh my God, I was exhausted after lunchtime. Mm. I said, okay, so gluten, probably not the greatest thing for you. Could you try other things? Could you try maybe like a potato? Like, and I'm not saying like everybody should eat a potato because some right. people might not do well, mm-hmm. but I said, well, could you try maybe like a sweet potato or, and some more protein and a little bit of greens, like some broccoli or something. She did. She felt great. So this, she said, okay, so it's not the food at lunchtime that's making me tired. It's what food I'm eating. Like, mm-hmm. what am I eating? So when she changed that up, that actually, and so then she was able to have energy throughout the day. So start paying attention and realizing that you can do one small thing. If it's mm-hmm. just like, okay, if you were starving yourself because you were thinking you were putting on weight, maybe what you need to do is like, well, maybe I need more energy rather than worrying about my weight. And I can figure that out afterward when I have the energy, because then you can exercise when you have the energy to, you know, and you're not starving yourself. So, I would say that one little thing, mm-hmm. just look at what's impacting you. Like what are the foods that are making a difference and what's giving energy and what's taking energy away?
Yeah. I really, really appreciate that. I think, I think the piece that is so important about it is it's not just taking a look at your diet or thinking about what's happening in my diet, but really that true reflection process, almost, you know, entering, like journaling it out. And so recording, not just doing a food log and what you eat, but also recording how you then feel in the next couple of hours after you've eaten that one thing and those kinds of things. I recently realized that I am allergic to tomatoes and it's something that I've eaten all my life, but I kept getting this reaction where my lips would swell up. And it wasn't happening immediately after I ate tomatoes. It would happen, you know, anywhere between like 6 and 12 hours later and then last almost 24 hours. But once I started kind of the food diary with like reactions and really thinking about it, I realized very quickly that that was the problem spot. And since eliminating it out of my diet, I haven't had that reaction. So I think, so listeners, that's so important. So it's not just about what you're eating, but it's how it's affecting you. And it's so individualized.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, I mean, I love that you've done that experiment, that N=1 experiment where you've seen like, actually, this isn't working for me. Now, the thing about sensitivities, mm-hmm. so an allergy and a sensitivity are two different things. And that's one thing I'd love to get across before yeah. we wrap up, right?
Absolutely.
So a sensitivity is acquired. Right. So that's something as you get older and as you're exposed to more and more toxins, whether that mm-hmm. is medications can cause that because they can damage the lining of the gut, bacteria, like overgrowth of certain bugs that are not great, like non-friendlies, they can cause sensitivities. And sensitivities can change. You can actually reverse them if you heal the gut. Of an actual allergy is when, like you said, you'd get like within the first hour, you'd get mm-hmm. an immediate reaction. But a sensitivity can happen up to 72 hours yeah. after. And in the case of people with gluten, like when you've been glutened, the half-life of gluten is 97 days. So if you've been feeling, you've had brain fog. So yeah, that's one yeah. pearl that I
had no idea that it lasted that long in your body.
Yeah, 97 days. So if you're tired and you're sluggish and you don't know why and you're getting headaches and you have, and it doesn't always show up as a gut issue, you know, right. celiac disease was discovered by gastroenterologists, but only one third of the people with celiac disease actually have gut symptoms. Two thirds of them have neurological symptoms, right? So if neurologists have found it first, and this applies to people even with non-celiac gluten mm-hmm. sensitivity, right? So even people who like me, like I'm not a celiac, but I eat gluten and I go to bed. Like it's like someone pulled the plug and it's like, I need to lie down. I really need to lie down. And no matter, I mean, I've done a lot of gut repair, a lot of gut health work, but it's just one of those things that when I do it, it doesn't work for me.
Right.
So, yes, certain sensitivities we can, like your tomato sensitivity, we could fix that most likely. You'd have to avoid it for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
You'd also have to work on cleaning up bugs, rebalancing, mm-hmm. all that stuff. You know, the DNA in your gut or in your body, it's like you're 57% more bacteria than you are human. Right.
Yeah.
So
that's fascinating.
So that as well, like which people just don't know. And sometimes mm-hmm. your doctor sometimes doesn't even know because their nutrition training is, you know, they don't get the same amount of training as someone who would have gone through. I mean, I would say I've been a student of nutrition and the gut microbiome since 2010.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even before like formally training.
Yeah.
But because I was trying to figure out what was going on with me.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And thank you for highlighting the difference there between the allergy piece and the sensitivity piece. I think that's really important for myself and our listeners and everyone to keep in mind. So this has been so great. I have really enjoyed chatting with you on all of these things. Before we wrap up and head into our recovery moment, what is one piece of advice that you would like to leave with our audience members?
What I would love people to think about, I think food can be medicine, and you might be looking at medications to try and fix things but you're only chasing symptoms. You're not getting to the root cause. So what I love about the precision of functional medicine, it is that it is tailored to each individual person. So if you have got the time, and even if you don't have the time, make the time, make yourself a priority. That's the whole point of not burning out, taking yourself off the back burner and putting yourself first and make yourself a priority. Take the time out, work with someone I have a whole team. So it's not just me. I have a medical doctor that I work with. I've also got three nutritional therapists and functional diagnostic nutrition practitioners. So between the four of us, we work on creating this really safe space where no matter what's going on, we've got you. We'll look after you. We'll help. It's like you have your own, you look at professional athletes and they've got a whole team. And why wouldn't you do the same thing? Corporate athlete, if you're working in corporate, if you're a busy mom, why wouldn't you do the same thing and have a whole team of people who know exactly how to support you? So I would say invest in the time, invest in the lab work, and put yourself first.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's the key. Putting ourselves first is so, so important. If you don't do that first, then the other stuff really can't come along with it. So
I say it over and over, you can't pour from an empty cup. So absolutely. If you are depleted and drained, how on earth are you showing up for your kids? Mm-hmm. How are you showing up for your husband or your partner or your job?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us today. Joining me today. This has been amazing. I know my key takeaway is to continue to do that diet reflection journaling and taking stock of how things I eat make me feel in that process. So I can highlight the things that maybe aren't so great for me in the diet that I can reflect and change. So where can our audience find out more about you?
I've got a website, well-works.co. That's well-works.co. I've got a wonderful free Facebook group called Well World. And I would love more and more people to join that because I am actually on a mission to empower people into health freedom, financial freedom, geographical freedom. I want to help people who can to live and work anywhere and to feel free and happy doing that and vital, have that sort of energy in order to be able to do that. So Well World on Facebook. Hopefully we'll share some links with them.
Yeah, we will have everything, dear listeners. Everything is included in the show notes. So anything that you want to connect with Ray Winn on, we will have the website and the Facebook group there for you.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And thank you so much for joining us and sharing such great knowledge with us. Listeners, if you love this, please, I encourage you to subscribe and download and hit that subscribe button wherever you get your favorite podcast. And if you thought that this was beneficial, share it with a friend who you think needs to hear it as well. And in just a moment, we'll head into our recovery moment. All right, dear listeners, it is now time for our recovery moment. And today we are doing a little bit of intention setting, and specifically we are considering the intention setting around happiness. So let's begin. As always, I want to make sure that you are in a safe and comfortable space. So if you're not in that place, hit pause and come back to me later. If you are in that space, let's go ahead and get started with taking a deep breath. So that nice big deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. So the practice of metta or loving kindness can help you respond to your own mind with friendliness. Unfortunately, our thoughts don't always do what we want them to, and the body may have discomfort. Loving kindness meditation encourages us to meet those experiences with a caring and gentle heart. This helps us see more clearly in our practice and daily life. In loving kindness practice, you are not inviting in something from outside yourself. You are tuning in to the capacity for care and love that is already present in your heart. So sit in a comfortable posture and gently allow your eyes to close. Take a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. From the beginning, try to bring kindness into your practice. Think of the body with friendliness. Listen to it and see if you can move to get more comfortable. You don't want to fall asleep, but you can allow yourself to be more at ease during this exercise. Take a deep breath. And if you haven't already and you feel comfortable, allow your eyes to close. By recognizing your own desire to be happy, don't dig into stories about what might make you happy. Find this natural wish for ease and discomfort for yourself. Try saying to yourself, "Yes, I want to be happy." With this intention in mind, begin offering yourself phrases with loving kindness. As you hear these phrases, repeat them to yourself. Connect with the intention behind the words, even if you don't feel them entirely in this moment. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be safe. May I be at ease. Again, with each breath, focus on each phrase. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be safe. May I be at ease. As you offer the phrases, use them as the object of your concentration. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be safe. May I be at ease. Rest your awareness fully on the phrases and the deeper intention. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be safe. May I be at ease. When the mind wanders, come back to the phrases in your head. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be safe. May I be at ease. Notice any feelings or thoughts of self-judgment or resistance to self-care. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be safe. May I be at ease. Say these phrases to yourself throughout your day. Try it every time you wash your hands to repeat them once more. Now take a deep breath and bring your awareness back to your present space. One more deep breath, and when you are ready, open your eyes. I invite you to follow me for more recovery moments at Dr. Kate Steiner on Instagram, and be sure to subscribe to the From Burnout to Recovery show on YouTube. I'm grateful to our guest, Rewin. Reach out to her at well-works.co, and I'm grateful for each of you for listening. Thank you for joining us today on the From Burnout to Recovery show with Dr. Kate on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Kate, and I wish you peace on your journey. I am so grateful for you on joining me on the front porch today. And remember, if you're ready and you're looking to assess your own current level of burnout, be sure to take my Feeling Crispy quiz on my website, liftwellnessconsulting.com. Be well, my friends. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Kate, on the From Burnout to Recovery show, where you are starting your journey to burnout recovery. You are invited to join me on the front porch every second and fourth Friday of the month on transformationtalkradio.com to continue growing in resilience and integrating recovery into your daily life. If you would like to learn more or find out how to work with me, visit liftwellnessconsulting.com.